Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. 1:30, we'll talk with Peyton McNabb. She's a young woman that was in the box the other night when Democrats couldn't honor her because she's on the wrong side of things. She was very, very severely injured in a volleyball match at the high school level by a male striker on the other team that got her right between the eyes. And recovery has been slow with this. I'm talking about a major injury. Now, it's fair to emphasize that part of it. That's a real thing, the safety of female athletes. I usually don't emphasize that, though, because to me, the competitive spirit is so important. To be told, well, you're just going to have to suck it up, honey. You know you're going to come in second. So what? Train harder. Can you imagine what it takes, aside from the protecting women and all that part of it, but the competitive part, telling people, they just have to lump it up. Oh, the numbers are so small. Come on now, why are we doing this? And that's why I think the headline story of the day is Gavin Newsom saying, no, it's completely unfair. Says he's a big sports guy, which we believe universally is a lie. But in this podcast, saying, no, this is unfair, without a doubt, unfair. I know it seems obvious to us, but you have to understand inside the Democrat Party. Oh, my God. So you're going to see this play out over the next couple of weeks with people like Josh Shapiro and others. Where do they go, given what we're seeing here play out? All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Hit us, someone underrated. They don't get the credit. You just heard the Hedy Lamarr. That's an example. Could be a funny one, could be a serious one. Now, this is something, I mean, it's a lot to imagine that Trump could take on anything else, but he does seem to be opposed to what's going to happen on Sunday and happens every year. Spring forward, fall back. Okay? So we're going to spring forward an hour. Daylight savings time. I'm looking at Time Magazine and other articles today, dangers to health and all the things that go into this. I think there are still two states, I know there's one, that are not clock touchers, meaning they don't touch it, they don't move it, and that would be Arizona. I'm not sure about Indiana, if they are in that camp or not. But every year when this comes up, we hear a sizable number of people, and I'm one of them, that I would like to see a longer period of the dread of winter is around 4:30, 4:45, bang, that's it. Close for business today. Is Trump going to take this up? Now, there are agricultural interests. You know, there are some of these red states. They're one of the problems. They want to block this stuff. They don't want this. Is there enough of a thirst for that for the American people? You know what this is like? This is like the state sewer thing. People don't like this in Pennsylvania. They'd rather we be like the other states. And it's pretty high, the numbers that don't like it. But they're not galvanized, brought together, the pitchforks to get it done. Same thing with daylight savings time. I think most people listening right now would prefer not to be doing all this stuff. The problem is, up until now, there's not an issue or there's not a moment. Everything else is so chaotic. Can Trump be the one to do it? Henry, where do you come down?
You cannot, don't change daylight savings time. Don't do anything with it. I want long summer nights. I'll take the short winter days like we've been having all winter in order to have the last bits of summer every single night in June, July, August.
Well, we can have both, really.
No.
Yeah, I think we can.
I don't think you can. I think however they set the clocks, that's just not going to work.
All right. So where are you on this? I don't know that there's anybody that really likes a winner. You hear, Henry, the trade-off of that. It is just so much drudgery to get through it.
That's why we have Christmas and the holidays.
We need more
holidays. Yeah, right in the middle. Like,
put more holidays into the dread of winter. All right, 855-839-1210. Spasm of articles this year, though. You're going to see more, given the fact that Trump has been making some noise about potentially doing things. All right, you can get in on that. We'll talk with Peyton at 1:30. And again, I think Gavin Newsom here, well, he's definitely running. We knew that. And he's one of the three or four major contenders. But he's really carving out a different path here. It's all fraudulent. You know what I mean? I mean, he has signed bills in which parents, the ultimate in these bills is parents can't know if their kid is using a different gender at school. That's got to be illegal, unconstitutional, un-American, up and down the line. It's ridiculous. But he signed that. So why in the world is he doing this? Because he's a smart enough politician to know how damaging this is, that the other Democrats don't get this. He did that in his podcast with Charlie Kirk. He also said, no, it's crazy to defund the police. He would defund the police in a minute if he could. We know all this. Examine it, though, what it tells us. What it tells us is this. The way to approach this trans thing is not to be making any comments to indicate, which is true, that the people involved in this stuff in many instances are troubled, they're having emotional problems, etc. But to go to the fairness part of this and to call out the other side as anti-woman, as Peyton McNabb coming up at 1:30 has. That's where the Democrats are. Or a positive way, that Republicans are now the party of women. Do they want it solely to say, well, abortion's the only issue that matters? No, this seems to matter too. And the pro-woman side is the side that I'm on, the side that you're on. Just be careful not to having some yo-yos, making fun of or going down a path with trans. If you want to do that, fine, but it's not going to win hearts and minds. That's what we're about. And Newsom knows this. He sees it. The evidence is overwhelming. Any number of these Democrats know it. Why can't they get ahead of it? Because they've been captured by a small but very loud wing of their party who's not going to allow that. They're going to link it with being gay. And there's no linkage there. It has nothing to do with that. They're going to try to come back to that and saying you're hating gay people if you just say, no, you can't have boys, you can't have men in sports. That's where it is. That's why I think this story is huge today, that he's getting out ahead of it. Fetterman, who has been a bit of a contrarian, still couldn't vote for it in the Senate. A guy who's one of the ultimate contrarians on their side, sort of. He still would not vote for the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. And the big news here is in Pennsylvania for the governor's race. If Republicans can just get that bill before the House, it's going to pass in the Senate. Now, I blame Doug Mastriano for this. If he hadn't gotten murdered by Josh Shapiro, we would have this bill. 10 or 12 Democrats would vote for it. Then Shapiro would have to decide. Would he sign it? Which inside the Democrat Party is very tough, or would he veto it? Which, if you run for president, is even tougher. That's what's at stake here. That's where we are. That's the power this issue has. All right, 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all that you have to do is just push #1210. I've never seen the play Hamilton, so let me play you a little bit of what's going on with this. Here is Fox and Friends this morning. This will be cut 12, talking about the Kennedy Center now being the Hamilton play is refusing to go there and put it on. They've done it before under the claim that the Kennedy Center in Washington is now partisan. Well, Brian Kilmeade and others on Fox and Friends are making the point it's always been partisan. It's named after the Kennedys, the people they lionize. They're not doing conservatives there. Here's how it sounded.
The cast later read a letter to Pence after the show saying, quote, "We, sir, are the diverse America who are alarmed and anxious that your new administration will not protect us." So that's how that story is shaping up this morning, guys.
Oh, we remember that.
Right.
Well, I mean,
it's a new time, though.
It's been out for a long time, and we've all seen it. If you wanted to see it, you could see it.
And you can watch it on video.
It on TV.
Yeah, you can stream it. Yeah. So you don't have to go to the Kennedy Center.
These people need to understand.
Right?
Go straight. Forget my point.
Right. The only thing I can say is, don't act like the Kennedy Center was ever nonpartisan. It was always been to the left. Yeah. So the president says, I just want to have a say over a institution that I think needs to broaden out its fan base.
Right. Right.
Remember, they told him basically not to show up for 4 years. Yeah. Now that he's back, he goes, I have a better idea. How about you don't show up?
They're still not getting it, though. It's a different time now. Like, the country is...
All right, Henry. So we got an idea with this. Look, I've never seen it. It's, you know, the throw around and all. I get that. Always been suspect of it, though. It's not a full boycott. Just never had the urge to overpay for it, to see it. Again, this idea that they can't go to the Kennedy Center now, it's always been partisan. Give it a break here. Just because Trump's there, you're not going to perform there. You're going to see more of this. All it does is provoke even more of a push, a backlash, just like the trans thing. Okay, 855-839-1210. You get a line. Great column today, too, saying, What is the Democrat angle of attack other than Gavin Newsom when it comes to this 90-10, 80-20 issue about men and women sports? And Democrats are trying to argue, any number of them, they're convinced of this, that history's on their side. In other words, they're going to look back 10 years from now and we're going to say, you know what? How did we ever do something that evil? Why did we do that to trans people? This is going to be just like slavery. That's essentially what's in their head. Now, think of the disconnect. It's not even like gay rights. It's not like anything like that. It's a completely different issue here that is divorced from any of those things. So if they want to convince themselves, they're the heroes. They're standing on the side of history. I would maintain the stuff being done with kids that are 8 to 10 years of age by some of these medical associations, there was just another study out yesterday, they're on the wrong side of history. We're already seeing it. People are saying, look, this is ghastly. You know, we feel for this. There's a disconnect. There's an emotional problem here with these kids. But doing irreversible treatments on young kids, bludgeoning parents, if you don't do that, your kid will commit suicide. Having that type of drive, making money off it. Sad to say, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia is one of those places. They're on the wrong side of history. They're going to be judged on the wrong side of history. Just like partial birth abortion, gradually, wrong side of history. People are going to say, how ghastly. How in the world did people push to do something this bad? That's on the wrong side of history. But saying that women shouldn't have to play against men or boys or girls, that's not going to be on the wrong side of history. There's no evidence of that. They're kidding themselves. They're virtue signaling in their own mind to continue to go down this path. As long as they do, this day with Newsom will not be forgotten, though. He's doing the right things presidentially for him. It's going to differentiate him. Now, he still may get rejected. A lot of them may not be able to go for that because they're heroes by going to... We just played you that pick your fighter thing. They think if Trump says it, we got to take the other side. People are not going to go with that. The speech is an example. Challenge him on the things that might be like the tariffs. That's a good debate. You want to challenge on that. You can have a reasonable debate. Make your case why the tariffs are going to harm the average American, why they're out of the line, why some of them are not calibrated. Okay, that's a good debate. You might be able to win that or at least have it. You'll seem to be rational. Trump will have to reconsider, going back and forth. But on these other issues, not applauding law, not applauding the guy who has seven kids the other night and has brought through over the years 40 foster children through his home. You can't applaud that because Trump said it. Then the 13-year-old. Despicable. Well, in fact, here is the fallback from a guy who wants to be a squad member. This is Cut 9. This guy's from Texas. Representative, is it Savar? I don't have his name here. Listen to what he says to a question from the Daily Caller about they did show respect, he says the other night, for the cancer survivor.
News Foundation. So I understand that there were various different forms of protests last night, and lots of Democrats remained seated or held their applause during moments of recognition, like the brain cancer survivor or the West Point students' military acceptance. Do you think that that was the right decision in that moment? Should politics have been put aside for just a moment to recognize the positives of the night? What's your stance on those decisions?
I hope that everybody prints this very clearly. Every single Democrat has enormous respect for the American people and for cancer survivors. In fact, you have cancer survivors here in this room. What Democrats stand against is Elon Musk and Donald Trump ripping cancer research to shreds in order to give billionaire tax cuts, firing doctors and nurses who are caring for kids with cancer right now in order for them to take their salaries and put them in their own pockets. So every Democrat stands with enormous respect for the American people, whether they agree with us or not, and especially for those who are ill and struggling. And I think you saw that respect last night as we respected those Americans, but we do not respect Donald Trump and Elon Musk taking cancer treatment away from families.
Okay, now there's no follow-up on that, and you're saying, well, what about the fine? They don't do that. You ask the question, they rattle that off. Obviously, you did not show respect, but he did say something there. If you want to duke it out with Trump and say, what about cancer research? We're going to make the case that it really is being curtailed here, the threat of these cuts or these cuts, which I don't think is the case, but okay. Debate that with him. Make your case. That could be both emotional, and it could be that the American people agree with you and say, look, this has gone too far. We need this emphasis on pediatric cancer research for little boys like that young man the other night. Okay. But a follow-up question would say, no, buddy, you didn't stand up. You didn't stand up. Is that a fact, sir? You didn't stand up. Yeah, but we went, okay, oh, challenge. Get into the ring. Get him up with Trump on this. Make that case. Make it emotionally. That's fair. Let's see what Doge and Elon Musk would counter with what the facts are. But not standing up during that. Are you insane? And yeah, you can get away with it here because there's no follow-up question. But in any rational world, the American people are not going to buy that. They see you for what you are. You're deranged by Trump. You're soulless. You couldn't applaud this little boy. If you want to make it about the other, there are rings for that. Have at it. Let's see if you can make that case. All right, coming up, I'll give you a little bit of an insight because I'm going to be on Newsmax today of what they think happened in the Republicans' meeting with Elon Musk and Doge, how they want it to be calibrated. And I'm in a camp. Now some Republicans are saying they're not going to hold any town halls because there are organized protesters coming. I'm never going to be in the camp. You know what? Bring it on. I think you still have to do the town hall. You can't say because of the money spread around, these activists and whatever. Do the town hall, face them down, call them out, go after them. You can't do tele-town hall. If you're a congressperson, I've always believed this, you got to do town halls. Now, if someone will not shut up, they're talking over you, you can't talk at all, then you can have them removed. But haven't we always made that a principle? Republicans shouldn't violate it. Do the town hall. Do the things that I've said. Don't cower because advisors saying, well, but some of these are activists and all. We know that. The truth's on your side. Face them down. All right, 855-839-1210. You get on board. Okay, Dom Giordano's show. Welcome in. 855-839-1210. That's how you do it. Moments away, we'll talk with Peyton McFadden. She was there in the booth with the young man who was the put into the Secret Service. She was the one severely injured in that volleyball incident, playing against a male who was masquerading as a female, or not even masquerading so much, as far as I can tell. And the sickness of allowing your male kid to go out there, and some of the records that have broken. Leah Thomas is a big example, but some of the numbers in cross country and these other things, they're astounding. Why are we letting that go on? Well, Gavin Newsom gets how we feel about that, and he's moved away from it. Let me go to Robbie in Marlton, New Jersey. Robbie on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Robbie. Afternoon.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, so when it comes to the transgender, I thought about this for many years. And when kids are growing up, there's always this nature-nurture that happens with kids. And during their nurturing, we have to have a male-female separation and let them try to find, you know, through sexual curiosity and all this other stuff, they find themselves. And a very small percentage of them that are born with this transgender problem, those people, yes, protect their rights. That's fine. And I think the majority of Americans feel that way, but they don't want it mainstream. They don't want it trending. They don't want it nurtured and say, oh, it's okay.
Well, wait, Robbie, to your point, Bill Maher has put it, that's why he's a liberal, not a progressive, very well, exactly what you're saying. Said it to me on air and off air. How come when he goes to a party on the road in, say, our area, red states, that kind of thing, there's nobody there that says, oh, my kid is trans. He goes to a dinner party in Beverly Hills, and half the people there have a trans kid. Your nurture. That's what's happening.
Yeah, and that's a problem, because that's more of the nurture saying that, you know, putting peer pressure on people that it's cool to be trans. 60 Minutes did a documentary probably a few years back on how many kids did this operation. They were confused, 13, 14, 15-year-olds. They had their body parts removed, and then a few years later, they realized that was not their problem. It was some other psychological problem or something else. And it's sad, because around the world, there's like 50,000 people that suffer this. So this is a problem that I believe even Democrats, most moderates, the problem is the Democrats aren't able to articulate this. And, you know, this kind of formula of demonizing it, and the Roger Ailes formula of saying, you know, picking on that small group. Well, that small group, they're going to own it. And then it just gets put into mass media. And that cycle comes around and say, oh, look at what all these Democrats are for. No,
yeah.
They're for the rights of the very small, but they're not necessarily for, hey, let's put this in all of our communities, let's put it in our sports. And I think your 80-20, 90-10 is exactly right with how the country feels about this.
That's why Gavin Newsom is ahead of the curve, even though God, you know, doesn't believe in anything necessarily, coming out on that podcast and saying, of course, what are you talking about? It's fairness. You can't have boys and girls sports. It's a tell. Thank you, Robbie. Thanks for a great call. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. All right, I unveiled this yesterday. In fact, we did the side question with this about where our next trip is. It said that you don't just visit Sicily. You fall head over heels in love with Sicily, the ancient crossroads of civilization, the Greeks, the Romans, the Arabs, the Normans, the Spaniards, the Germans. They all left their cultural mark. I'd like you to join me and Ro and a lot of our listeners for the sun, the sea, and the unparalleled beauty of Mediterranean Europe in Sicily and Calabria this fall. Ro will give you a guide, her people, Calabria, right? And I've been headed to Europe several times with listeners. We're going to go with the best tour operator in Italy, the best that I've ever worked with. That's, of course, Ken Chase and Conservative Tours, 5544. Write those numbers down, 5544, including airfare. The dining events, last time we were in Venice and Rome, and we told you about them, they are remarkable. Bustling Palermo, the Quattro Canti, Monreale, the Palace of the Normans. All you have to do is get the information now. You can do that two ways. Call 888-733-9494 or go to conservativetours.com. We'll even enjoy the Godfather tour. That's right, all the locales from the film. None of them from Godfather 3. I put that in the rider. No Godfather 3 in this. If it's here, I'm ripping this up. It's off, Ken Chase. I just get a signal from the producers. No Godfather 3 locales will be mentioned in this. The crown jewel, of course, Sicily, has to be Taormina. And then we'll go on to Mount Etna, the Valley of the Temples. This is Sicily, ancient, charming, picturesque, and always a country inside a country. Well, I'll see you in Savoca. Remember that number, 888-733-9494.
Hey, it's Matt, your Leaf Filter Trusted Pro. Gutters are an often neglected part of the home. They're also one of the most important. Clogged, overflowing gutters can cause serious problems like foundation damage.
All right, Dom Giordano's show. Welcome in. Waiting on Peyton McNabb to join us. She's a young woman who was seriously injured. I was just telling Dan about what happened today with Gavin Newsom. I still can't underline enough what a tell this is, what a moment it is. For Gavin Newsom to say, oh, of course, fairness. I love sports. If I were coaching up, have you noticed, Henry, have you seen what Democrats have been coached up to do? And it seems like a lot of money to tell them to do this. They're all holding lav mics now that influencers hold. Some cockamamie smaller mic in front of them in order to look like they're an influencer. Adam Schiff in every picture I see today. All right, let's go to Peyton McNabb here on Talking Radio 1210. Hey, Peyton, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for all that you've done, and how are you feeling?
I'm feeling overwhelmed with emotion. I mean, what an incredible past few days, and it's just such an honor.
Well, it was quite a moment. And deep down, when you're seeing that, under the tutelage of Riley Gaines, and I don't know if you deal with Patty Scanlon or not, but you seem to handle the Democrats sitting on their hands pretty well. But inside, you were thinking what?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised by them at all. This is their behavior that they continue to show. But I think that they really showed their hand on Tuesday night. I mean, they completely embarrassed themselves, I feel like, and shot themselves in the foot, especially all of them coming together and wearing pink and claiming to be the champions for women, and then they acted the way they did. And it's so sad, but like I've said, it's not surprising at all.
Peyton McNabb with us, who was very seriously injured in the volleyball game with a male smashing one that hit her right in the face. You don't have to name names, Peyton, but if any Democrats, any liberal side said, look, Peyton, you know, we're with you. I'm not with these people. I did stand up. Have you heard from anybody in that realm saying, of course, we support you?
Absolutely not. Which is devastating. And it's just completely ridiculous because, you know, these are common sense things and it's across the board. They didn't just not stand for me. They didn't stand for any of the other special guests that President Trump and the First Lady invited, and it was really anti-American of them.
Well, right. I'm not sure if you went before. I would say good if you go before, because it's going to be hard with 13-year-old DJ Daniel, who they didn't stand for, a brain cancer survivor, who just was made an honorary Secret Service. I think 300 or 400 police departments have done that. What was the feeling in the box when they wouldn't applaud for him?
It was just, I mean, it was insane. I could not believe it, because how they hate Donald Trump so much that they will not stand for a young man who has just been through the unimaginable, and he has battled through it and is here today, and God bless him. He is amazing. I had the privilege of getting to spend a lot of time with him on Tuesday, and he deserves all of the love that he is getting, but for them to totally ignore that just on the basis of political, just of being political, is absurd.
Yeah. Peyton, how is it going physically now, the recovery from that? Again, people don't realize the force you could be hit with with a volleyball in that situation. It can be devastating.
It was. It was a really dark time for me. This was my beginning of my senior year, a little over 2 years ago. So I've come a long way. The Lord has healed me a lot since then, but my body and mind are still recovering. The brain is the computer for your body, and I have a lot of things that are definitely still lingering. The doctors don't know if I'll ever fully recover, and it's just completely frustrating.
Well, as I tell Riley Gaines all the time, though, she didn't suffer what you did, and she did tie Leah Thomas, which is shocking to me in one race. But it took you on a path where you have become such a spokesperson, and you're even younger than Riley Gaines was. So give us an idea of your role and what you've tried to do getting through this injury.
Yeah, so as soon as this happened to me, I was 17 at the time. My parents said, you know, we'll wait until you turn 18 a few months later, and then I can decide on if I wanted to speak out or not. Of course, it is scary to take that stance and speak out against, you know, this woke agenda, because I don't understand why it's so controversial, but it is. And it was definitely hard. It was hard to think about, you know, what and all you get put on you. But I thought that if my story could help at least one other girl and prevent it from happening to them, then it would be so worth it. And in the end, it really has. I think the story has helped open the minds and hearts of other people. And it's really showed them that this issue is real. And of course, there is the fairness side of it, but really, there is a big part of the safety side as well.
Yes, the safety side we've talked about, and you are the prime example of it. What was, how long into the match was this? Because I am more, to be honest, I'm on the competitive, the fairness side of what that must have been like, seeing what was happening in volleyball. That's such a huge edge. I mean, it's incredible. You get somebody who's outsized versus the females. It's devastating from a competitive point of view to have any hope of competing.
Exactly. We had to practice differently to prepare for this, just this one individual. We didn't see any girl obviously hit it to with that power. So it was hard going into it. I mean, our coaches literally told us, because we couldn't even get the ball back across, and our whole goal was to just at least get a hand on it. I mean, men's volleyball, their nets are 7 inches higher for a reason, and I think that reason was definitely shown later in that game. But I was out the rest of the game. That was the last volleyball game I ever played in, and they had to put the freshman setter in to fill my spot, and she was so scared, shaking on the verge of tears, because of course she was. She saw one of the team captains and seniors get completely knocked out cold right in front of her, and now she's expected to go in and play against the same guy.
Wow.
So it's so heartbreaking, and it's sad, but it should have never happened.
Peyton, I didn't know, thank you for that there was a 7-inch difference there in the net size. And I commend you, because it didn't look to me like you were just saying, all I'm going to do is hope I don't get hit in the face. You were actually trying to return that in some way, shape, or form. Can you remember what you were thinking as the ball's gone to that side and you see the guy on the other side, Peyton?
I had a lot of emotions going, for sure. I was trying to seem at least a little positive and motivating as best that I could. But, of course, I never have agreed with this from the beginning. And just the fact that, you know, one of us actually did get hurt and hurt severely, it just absolutely lit a fire under me. So it is just absolutely ridiculous. And I can't believe, especially in rural North Carolina, this is not something that we ever saw before. So, and we didn't know what to do. No one was really talking about it at the time. You know, this is a little over 2 years ago. So we felt like our hands were tied. And at the time, he wasn't doing anything wrong, because in North Carolina, it was allowed. But now, after a lot of fighting and sharing my story, it is no longer allowed in the state of North Carolina. And I'm very proud of that.
Talking with Peyton McNabb, did you get to speak with First Lady Melania?
I did. I did very briefly. We got to take a picture with her before, and kind of introduce ourselves. She is just as amazing as she seems on the outside and she is on the inside. So it just what an incredible honor, especially being one of her guests and then getting to sit right beside the second lady. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better night.
So, Peyton, what's your role now? What do you plan to do? Do you have a college vocation in mind? Do you have something else in mind?
I'm currently in college trying to finish my four-year degree and also advocating across the nation. Right now we're trying to get state laws passed because, of course, the executive order was so important and such a huge step in the right direction, but there's still lots of work to do. On the state level in the NCAA, because their policy isn't as good as it needs to be. And we're just going to continue to fight until we're no longer needed, but we're not going anywhere.
Absolutely. Well, Peyton, thank you so much. Thanks for the stuff that you do. And you realize this, there are millions more people out there who applaud what we saw the other night, you and DJ and the others. So thank you, Peyton, and thanks for the work you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless.
God bless. Peyton McNabb, and it's like Riley Gaines was on Outnumbered today, one of the four women there quizzing the guy. So she's a superstar. Scanlon is the one who seems to be, fairly shy, and now she's the point person. She's got two influencers, though, Riley Gaines and Scott Presler. Oh, my God. That's an awful lot. But you know, how you could even have these matches go on, that was 2 years ago. 7-inch net difference, Henry. Henry, have you ever played volleyball?
Poorly, but yes.
Okay. I think I'm talking about a level where we actually have striking and all what goes into it. Yeah,
nothing past like rec league in college.
Well, I'll tell a story. When I was teaching at Triton Regional High School, real, I've even written about it. In the fourth marking period, if it rained and they were inside, they filled up the volleyballs to maximum, and they played murder ball, they called it, with it. The number of broken nodes, these maniacs, these gym teachers,
gosh,
until it was stopped. So I've seen the carnage. It actually went on. If you look it up, murder ball, they did it, and then there was a big stink over it. Like, what the hell? From pretty close distance, maybe 8 to 10 volleyballs at once. You get hit with a volleyball, you're getting concussed in that manner, and this is right between the eyes.
Woof.
So. I'm surprised the game went on at that point, that they continued. There wasn't. Now, it was 2 years ago. Now, there would have been more people saying, that's it, buddy. This is stopping. You're not going to do it. I still think, even with the safety issue, it's better to talk. I don't even use the word fairness. That word is just not even enough. It's the competitive. These girls, Riley Gaines, women, are driven to excellence, shave off a hundredth of a second, and they got to contend with Leah Thomas? No way. All right, more of your calls coming up, and Henry's got a little sports update too.
Oh, yeah.
After this. He says the salary cap doesn't exist. I hope that's the case. Why are these dummies losing to Howie Roseman, who has ring circles around him so much that he's talking about sex now rather than caps? All right, all that straight ahead. Here's how you get in, 855-839-1210.
Woo! Yes, it's that time of the week again where I, Henry Machette, will take you through this wide world of sports, even if it's only here in Philadelphia. So let's start with the teams that have more or less disappointed us this year, Dom. How about the Philadelphia Flyers? They are they moved in front of the Pittsburgh Penguins. They have that going for them right now, but it looks like they came out hot out of the All-Star break, winning three in a row, two of which were over the Penguins, but have faltered as of late, losing the last two of three. They host the number one seed in the West Conference right now, the Winnipeg Jets, tonight at the Wells Fargo Center, so make sure you tune into that. Moving on, let's talk about the Sixers for a second, at least. They're losers of 13 of their last 15 games, Dom. Can you believe that?
I don't know how the other team screwed up in the other two to lose to them.
Yeah.
They're amazingly disgraceful. They're blatantly disgraceful.
Yeah, and the game they won recently against the Warriors, I mean, completely ridiculous. It took Quentin Grimes scoring 44 points in order to upend them. So that was their, the one anomaly here. But, yeah, they look like such a disaster. Tonight, though, They are on a national TV on TNT. They are at the Boston Celtics tonight, Dom. Do they have any chance?
No, of course.
Any chance?
Well, other than, you know, the game might be close because the Celtics realize this is a joke, so they won't pile on early on, so they'll...
I think they'll put him to bed immediately and then, okay, and then start joking around.
I could take under 15-point loss. That's what it'll be.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, we'll have to see. We'll have to check on that spread. Let's move to some spring training ball. The Phillies have had an up-and-down spring training, but the main story coming out of the Phillies lately, did you see what happened yesterday with Rob Thompson?
Yeah, he was on with Down the Hall with Joe DiCamera, or maybe this morning.
Oh, no, I'm talking about something completely different.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so you know how during games, typically during some baseball games, ESPN or whoever's hosting the game will mic up the manager, they'll mic up a player, they'll ask him some questions while during the game. ESPN had the bright idea of doing that with Rob Thompson the other day, except it yielded some negative results. I'll play this video on YouTube, youtube.com/1210WPHT, if you want to take a watch and listen to what happened when they interviewed Rob Thompson.
Number one, and make sure they're ready to go opening day and, you know, keep turning up the...
It's Jesus Lizardo on the mound. It's bases loaded, bottom of the second with two outs.
So that we're 100% going into the season, but at the same time, staying healthy.
All right, 2-1 on the way to Jones. Swing and a drive.
Yeah, that sounded pretty strong.
Yeah. And so, as you could guess... Way out of here. It was a grand slam off our new shiny toy, Jesus Luzardo. The issue was is that this interview kept going. Rob Thompson just sits there in silence, right, as one does when they give up a home run. The problem was, and I'm not going to bore you to death with it, but Jesus Luzardo let up two more home runs two pitches. And imagine being on national TV, having to talk through that. It's got to be an embarrassing feeling, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm not a big Thompson guy.
No?
No. I get all this reassuring stuff. I think the Phillies are a bit too reassured, and it's coming to a head on WIP today, Henry, where they've said that Bryce Harper probably is going to bat second.
Wow. Second.
Yeah. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see how, you know, we're getting ready, the weather getting nicer. People enjoy something to enjoy. There's going to be some drama here.
And that has been a point of contention this offseason.
Yeah. Like, well, sure.
What do we do with the lineup? How can we shake it up to make it more effective for this season? And you have been a staunch, you know, defender that Turner should be leading off, while I, on the other hand, have been a Schwarber guy, should be up top.
Right.
Are you still on that stance?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So then who should follow up Turner, if not Harper or Schwarber?
Yeah, well, you got to hope Stott, one of those guys. I would put them in there. Not Harper.
You're hoping someone takes that next kind of jump.
Yeah, they come back.
Okay, all right. I can respect that. And then let's move on to our Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles, making some big splashes in free agency, even though it hasn't even started yet, technically. They re-signed Saquon Barkley to a three-year, $41 million extension, making him the highest-paid running back ever over Christian McCaffrey of the San Francisco 49ers. And then they also doubled down the next day by giving all-pro linebacker Zach Bond a three-year, $51 million deal. Dom, is the salary cap real? Because it seems like the Eagles are loaded at seemingly every position. They pay guys exorbitant amounts of money. Look at Jalen Hurts' contract.
Well, sad to say, but the world of sports has become who can be more creative. And
exactly.
These other teams, thank God, don't get that. They're idiotic. And Howie Roseman knows how to do it. It's pretty simple. And if you do that, more than players, more than scouting, being able to manage what I think is socialism, is how you win. So, yeah.
Totally.
Henry,
and you juxtapose what the Eagles are doing with what the Cowboys are doing.
Right.
I mean, Jerry Jones is a million years old at this point. He clearly does not understand the salary cap. And he's just waiting and waiting to pay these players while Howie is more proactive in getting these contracts done early so he can manage them later. He can rearrange the numbers to his liking so he can put a team on the field that year while the Cowboys wait and see what happens. And then ultimately in the end, they get screwed and they have a disaster of a season like they did this past season and probably into the next season. So we'll see about that.
Though. It is the biggest thing in sports.
And then we'll end here. You teased it a little bit. Howie Roseman had some comments on Todd McShay's podcast on what it's like to win that second Super Bowl. I want to take a listen to that real quick.
Is this PG rated or PG-13?
Whatever you want.
So I'd say like the first one's almost like
Can I say this, Bob? Yes, can we delete this? Is this live? You don't know what I'm saying? You don't know
no,
what
this
I'm
is the best part. You can be
it's,
you.
It's almost like the first time you have sex. You're so glad you had sex. It's not even the quality of it. The second
perfect.
Time...
That's actually great.
The second time, it's like, wow, I could actually have fun and enjoy this. And so I would say, and Bob just had sex for his first...
Oh, I didn't know that last part. All right.
I didn't know that either.
There's Howie Roseman. Okay.
Howie Roseman. Is it true, Dom? Is the second one better than the first?
Yes. Yeah, I would endorse that idea. Sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right.
Sure.
So you're on board with Howie Roseman.
Yeah, second's better than the first. I'm on board with Howie Roseman.
All right. And maybe next week we'll touch on some college basketball as March Madness nears. But that's all.
Oh, give us some tips.
Yeah.
Okay. President Trump is going to be signing executive orders. We'll break that down. I think it's going to be, without a doubt, executive order diminishing, dissolving the Department of Education. You really can't get rid of it. Takes Congress to do that. But also, Scott Jennings, I'm enamored with, and I know a lot of listeners are. He told us yesterday about a column he wrote about what the Trump EPA did in L.A. The side question today, something underrated, not being reported, a person. I'll give you just a little bit of that coming up. First, we're going to talk with Montgomery County Commissioner Tom DiBello. Is it true that he vote, along with the two others, to put the homeless for $10 million in taxpayer money in a hotel that's rampant with drug abuse and prostitution? We'll see what he says. And your calls. Jump in now. 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.